You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
Is staying busy. And again, it kind of goes to not letting any one moment in particular be the end-all be-all, because there's always another horse show, you know, and I think that's something that I've learned to really believe. And, you know, sometimes it's just not your day, but you got to go into it like every day is your day, and the cards will fall where they fall. And I think that's probably the biggest thing that I've tried to learn and adopt is, you know, you're gonna go out when you're competing, and you're gonna compete like it is your day to execute, and it is your day to win. And if the feedback is different than that, then you take that and you just kind of, okay, there's another horse show, and on to the next horse. which definitely comes from a place of being fortunate to have a lot to compete. But I try to instill that a lot in our students as well, that, you know, you want to give this moment everything you can, but once this moment is done, then it's on to the next before you know it.
Welcome to the Practical Horseman Podcast, featuring conversations with respected riders, industry leaders, and horse care experts. The show is co-hosted by Practical Horseman editors, and our goal is to inform, educate, and inspire. I'm Kathleen Landwehr, and this week's episode is with eventer Tommy Greengard. Tommy and I spoke in early April after his 1-2 placing in the Galway Downs International CCI 4-star short. To give you a little more background on Tommy, he started riding at the age of 6 at a local dressage and eventing barn in Malibu, California, training with Robin Fisher. While attending the University of California, Berkeley, he began training with Andrea Pfeiffer. After graduating with a degree in environmental science in 2021, Tommy decided to become a full-time trainer at Pfeiffer's Chocolate Horse Farm in Petaluma, California. In recent years, he has amassed several top placings with his horses. In 2022, he won the USCA Young Event Horse West Coast 5-year-old championship with That's Me Z. 2 years later, the pair competed in the FEI Eventing World Championship for Young Horses in the 7-year-old CCI 3-star Long Division, finishing in 16th place. Fast forward to 2025, Tommy won the Aspen Farms CCI 4-star short with Joshua MBF and the CCI 3-star short with Balladeer Kilbracken's Lad. Later in the year, Tommy and That's Me Z won the 60,000 Attaquan USCA Advanced Final at the USCA American Eventing Championships. In our discussion, Tommy talks about what he enjoys about eventing, his training philosophy, how he handles disappointment, and more. Before getting into the conversation with Tommy, I'd like to share a word from this episode's sponsor, Decra. Every horse deserves to feel their best. That's why veterinarians trust Decra Veterinary Products, a global leader in equine health. From joint comfort and mobility to reproduction, skin and eye care, and essential fluid therapy, our solutions support horses through every stage of life. When your veterinarian recommends Decra products, you can be confident your horse is receiving high-quality, proven care. Because at Decra, we're dedicated to helping your horse live healthier, longer, stronger. Now, let's jump right into the conversation with Tommy, where he recaps his strong results in the Galway Downs International CCI 4-star short.
Yeah, we had a great weekend out at Galway Downs in Temecula last week. The whole team down there puts on a really good horse show, and we had it on our calendar as the first FEI for the year with 2 horses in the 4-star and 2 in the 3-star. It was That's Me Z's first 4-star of the year, and it was actually Balladeer Kilbracken's Lad's first 4-star slash advance of his whole career. So we went into it with just reasonable expectations of getting the dust kind of knocked off and seeing where all the horses and myself were at. And we were really, really pleased with how the weekend wrapped up.
Awesome. Yeah, it seemed like really great results with your 2 horses there. And with eventing, why did you kind of gravitate towards that discipline?
You know, what's funny is I grew up in what is an eventing barn. And, you know, they had, it was multidisciplinary of all the English disciplines, but the main focus of the showing at side of the barn was dressage and eventing at the time. I always joke that I have a fondness for the hunters. I wish I sometimes did the hunters because it's so well executed and those people ride so smoothly. But yeah, that's why I've done the eventing and stuck with it.
Gotcha. Very cool. And what is it about horses that have kept you involved with the sport and kind of going down this career path?
You know, I think my favorite thing about the horses is you're always learning, right? Even when you think you have an idea about something or you feel very confident in your system or your way of doing things, a horse comes along or a day comes along and you have to think a bit out of the box, or you need to search out answers from somebody else or look at a problem a different way. So I think you're never done learning, and that's what keeps me motivated every day to keep at it. And horses have a way of keeping you humble and keeping you guessing and trying to keep your mind being creative and just constantly expanding what you know or what you think you know. And I think that's been one of my favorite aspects of horses my whole life.
Awesome. No, absolutely. Horses definitely keep you humble, and there's always something to know, new to learn every day, it seems. Can you talk about some of the most influential horses you've had thus far, who they are, what they're like, and why they have been influential?
Absolutely. The first horse that comes to my mind is, I kind of always joke he was a game changer horse, was my first advanced horse, Joshua MBF, who my long-term coach, business partner, Andrea Pfeiffer, and I purchased as a five-year-old. He was too big for me. He was too strong for me. I didn't feel like I could ride one side of him. And we got in the car and Andrea looked at me and was like, "So what did you think?" And I started listing off all the reasons why I think he was very, very lovely, but did not make sense to bring home to California. And she finally gets done listening to me talk and she goes, "Well, I don't actually care what you think. He's the one." And she was absolutely right. And that horse went on to be my first FEI win, my first intermediate, my first three-star, my first advance, my first four-star win, my second four-star win. And beyond that, more importantly than any of that, he took me and Andrea on really the beginning of our journey now with the horses and brought my riding to a next level, brought Andrea and I's coaching relationship much further along, and really just set the stage for the younger horses that are coming up through the grades now. You know, he was one of those horses who, while it was his first time going through all the levels as well, you would have never known it. And, you know, what a privilege it was to learn on a horse that always kept me safe. And he's happily retired at the barn now, and definitely the king of the hill. But that is definitely the horse that comes to mind when I think of the most influential ones so far.
So he does sound like a very special horse and lots of milestones with him. And then to have him retired with you still is great.
Yeah.
So I know back in 2024, you took That's Me Z to the FEI Eventing World Championships for Young Horses. Can you talk a bit about that experience? Because that's a major event with a young horse abroad. So I would love to hear about it.
Yeah, that was amazing. You know, I think one of the most special things about that trip is what came from that idea was, you know, what started out as, okay, we have this horse that we think could be suitable for this competition. And it turned into an opportunity to take five horses over to England for almost 4 months and train with Tim and Janelle Price in preparation for that one event. I had a few people who were very supportive who kind of basically said, "Well, if you're going to do this, you've not done this before, and you should take the time to ride as many horses as you can and get all the preparation done. So that way, if we're going to do this, we're going to be successful." And that was an amazing experience. You know, I still joke it's 2 years later now almost, and I feel like I still have come away with lessons from that trip and ways of doing things and understanding concepts, and especially concepts of the cross country and concepts of the international showing that are still just starting to click in now, which is quite interesting. And, you know, I think one of the coolest parts about that trip to me was to see that good horsemanship and good, you know, good riding and is the same across the board, the same across no matter what country you're in. So it gave me a lot of confidence in our program out here in California, and it was really exciting to see what people are doing just already at home here in California and in the United States in general, because it felt very much like, you know, if you were prepared to be there, you deserved to be there, and that was a nice place to be at.
Awesome. Yeah, seems like that was a, you know, a great opportunity to compete there, and then, like you said, those 4 months to train there, just kind of immerse in that environment, and that's, yeah, really like a great stepping stone for your career and, you know, highlighting your program, like you said.
Absolutely.
Can you talk a bit about some of the most important wins in your career thus far? I know you kind of hinted at some with Joshua, but.
Yeah, I think, you know, some of the wins on the Joshua horse were very influential because they are kind of some of the first times in my life where I was like, wow, like I can be competitive with a bigger group of people and, you know, some of the people that I've really, really looked up to my whole life. And, you know, it's a bit of the belief that maybe you think you're good at riding horses or you think you're good at training horses, but competing is has a different element, and it's the execution on the day and the moment. And that was something that definitely took me a minute to learn, is I felt like I had an easier time with the day-to-day training. I understood that process almost more than I did the execution in the moment and taking all of the training and putting a ribbon on it for the show ring and what that needed to look like. And I think that's one of the biggest things I've learned with my trainer and coach, Andrea Pfeiffer, is how to do that. So that you know, that was really that horse, I like to joke, taught me how to win. You know, he was really, really competitive, and it set the stage for some of the later horses coming up. You know, we've had some terrific results across the board on the horses, you know, but That's Me Z, when he won the 5-year-olds championships for the entire country, with being the highest scoring 5-year-old in 2022. Really set us on the trajectory to go to Europe and think that some of that might be possible. And, you know, in even little ways, you know, we had a couple young horses win some classes abroad. And it was just exciting to feel like you could be competitive anywhere in the world. So some of those wins were almost more important to me in funny ways.
Sure. Now that's so true that it's... kind of, yeah, the day-to-day training and then executing at horse shows can be a real challenge, I feel like, as an adult amateur, for sure. But, yeah, just to then capitalize on all that hard work done on the day is, yeah, something great to see for people moving up their ranks. Mm-hmm. And kind of on the opposite end of things, you know, with horses and showing, things don't always go as we hope, or, you know, we might be close to a win and then it's not meant to be. How do you kind of handle some of those disappointments in the sport?
You know, I think the hardest part, right, is to stay very objective and to try to look at things clearly and surround yourself with people that help you look at things clearly. You know, the horse that just won the 4-star at the last weekend, I fell off of him at his first run of the year at like jump 6, like minute 1. Like, it was just this goofy little mistake. He kind of tripped. I kind of popped off. But, you know, it's like how we started the year with all these goals and all these plans. And we were like, we'll just take this horse for an easy run around at the first horse show. And here I was, like, on the ground within the first minute of leaving the start box. And I just was like, well, that wasn't the plan. This was supposed to be quite an easy run. And, you know, it's funny because it's just looking at things as feedback and trying to evaluate honestly with your team where things at. Doesn't mean that you have to go back to the drawing board, or sometimes things just go a little awry. And it's maintaining the belief in the system, the horse, and keeping your head screwed on tight, which is sometimes easier said than done, that, no, the work is there, the horse is ready for the level, and sometimes mistakes happen. on both parties. And, you know, keeping the faith. And, you know, I think it was, we were rewarded with that particular horse this year, you know, so far, knowing he actually was ready to move up to the 4-star level. But likewise, you know, sometimes you have to listen, and the disappointments are more like, actually, you need more time at the level, or you need to take a step back. And that's okay. And there's value in that. One of the biggest things we've done with That's Me Z, and it's been really a big thing in my learning, is he's moved up a level and he's moved down a level. Kind of even as he was an 8-year-old going advanced, he would go advanced and then he would go run an intermediate, or a 4-star, he'd go run an intermediate. Just so we always tried to maintain, you know, in these moments of big growth, can we go back to areas where we feel successful? And I think that's really important as a rider for the horses, you know, when we train and teach as well, that we want to see what we can do right outside of our comfort zone, but we also want to make sure we're instilling a culture of confidence and a culture of that you can make a mistake and it's going to be okay. And I think that's really important when the things don't go so well.
Sure. Yeah. Can be easy to get discouraged if you don't have like the big picture in view. And I love what you said just about, you know, kind of evaluating sometimes maybe just a blip, and sometimes maybe you might need to take a step back, or maybe that you said for That's Me Z, that's kind of been a formula of success for him to maybe step down.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's really great. Interesting to hear. And with competing, do you get nervous? And if so, how do you handle your nerves?
You know, at this point, I try to operate from a, you know, it's just another day in the office. I'm fortunate to compete quite a number of horses. So that definitely helps. I always joke that I do way better when the day looks like there's not possibly time to ride all the horses than on the days where I have like one or two horses competing and that's all we're doing for the day. So I'd say that's a big thing for me is staying busy. And again, it kind of goes to not letting any one moment in particular be the end all be all, because there's always another horse show, you know, and I think that's something that I've learned to really believe. And, you know, sometimes it's just not your day, but you got to go into it like every day is your day and the cards will fall where they fall. And I think that's probably the biggest thing that I've tried to learn and adopt is, you know, you're going to go out when you're competing and you're going to compete like it is your day to execute and it is your day to win. And if the feedback is different than that, then you take that and you just kind of, okay, there's another horse show and on to the next horse. Sure. Which definitely comes from a place of being fortunate to have a lot to compete. But I try to instill that a lot in our students as well, that, you know, you want to give this moment everything you can. But once this moment is done, then it's on to the next before you know it.
Sure. No, absolutely. And you kind of mentioned, you know, treating it like any other day. Do you feel like you have kind of a routine that you follow for big competitions? Do you do anything differently for those or try and still keep it all the same?
You know, what's funny, I think the biggest thing is we try to keep it all the same. You know, the longer I've done it, I almost back off more in the final like lead up to the big horse shows. You know, it's like, you almost like, I'll find, like, I'll take a horse just for a simple hack or, you know, just kind of just really try to take the training pressure away in the lead up. And I would say that's a big part of the preparation for me and feeling like, you know, the horses get to the horse shows feeling relaxed and rested, that we're not getting there kind of like training every last detail. And I think I take a lot of confidence from that. And I think the horses seem to as well. And I think the biggest thing for me comes in the preparation before the horse show. That's the biggest part of it. You know, for the big horse shows, even before Galway, Andrea and myself were out there jumping horses till like 7 at night. Cause we set the whole ring up very specifically for the cross country in mind. And we just really take the time to just kind of go through what every horse needs individually. You know, some, let's say they need to work on left-hand corners. Well, others don't need to work on that. They need to work on their angles, you know. And the list goes on and on, or they need to only look at angles off the right lead, you know. So it kind of is a really big group operation the week before the horse shows, and then we can kind of back off a little bit. And I think that's how I feel the most prepared, and that is where my show routine comes from.
Sure. No, absolutely. Yeah. It's kind of finding that formula of success for everyone. Mm-hmm. What works best. So thinking of training, how would you describe your training philosophy?
I would describe my training philosophy as constantly back to the basics. Mm. I'm a big believer that, you know, for instance, I think they should all be trotting poles before they jump their first jump every time in a jumping session. So just that way, you know, when a piece does kind of go by the wayside, you have a system you can go back to. I think that's always very important, and it helps with the problem solving. Certainly something I've come to find and really believe in is, you know, when you have just a very systematic, basic approach to everything, then if a piece of the puzzle's kind of gone missing, you can go back down the scale. You know, and it depends on the horse, but even with the horses that are going at the top level, just checking in that, can you execute the basics well? And usually when you can execute the basics well, then you'll find that the horses are able and ready to perform the more advanced movements or jump the bigger jumps. So I think that's a big part of my training philosophy. Like, I always kind of joke with everyone that on Tuesdays, the days that the horses go back to work after like a day off on Monday, I feel like all we do all day is 1,000 walk, trot, trot, canter transitions. And that's the day. And that's kind of the day for all the horses. It's nothing fancy. It's not particularly exciting work. But that is definitely where I find they get their strength and their confidence from, is routine and making things understandable to them from the beginning of their career all the way through. So their day looks similar.
No, yeah, definitely. It's those basics are so important for, you know, everyone and every horse. And sometimes,
absolutely.
Yeah, definitely. You talked a bit about like teaching your students and kind of coaching them at shows. How would you describe your teaching style?
I would definitely describe my teaching style as trying to push just outside the comfort zone. I really enjoy teaching, you know, some of the young riders and some of the very aspirational amateurs who really have big kind of goals for themselves, but are also very capable of achieving those, with, you know, sometimes a little bit of help or a little bit of just support and confidence. So I try to instill confidence on just like of helping people just achieve right, kind of what's right within their grasp, but maybe not right where they're at the moment.
Definitely. Yeah, that's so true. You know, step out of our comfort zones a bit, but maybe not, yeah, without getting over faced.
Exactly. And I think there's a big importance for that. And there's a way to do it in a way that instills confidence. And I think that's hugely, hugely important, you know, for pretty much all of us. Why did we get into it? Well, we want it to be fun. We love the horses. And at the end of all of our sporting pursuits, it should be about that. So I think when we're, you know, trying to challenge ourselves or challenge our students, we still want to come at it from a place of, is everyone having fun? And are we enjoying the root reasons for being here?
Sure. No, definitely. Yeah. It's supposed to be fun at the end of the day and focusing on that. With your training, do you have a favorite exercise that you like to set up in your ring? You know, whether it's poles or gymnastics or some type of coursework, could you describe it for me?
Yeah, absolutely. I think one of our favorites to go back to all the time is, like I said, I like to set up the corners before the big horse shows. That's very important to me, just in terms of checking my eyes and just knowing my lines. So we do a lot of setting a corner-to-corner combination off of 4 strides, and we'll do it so we can do it off the left and off the right. We'll change where it is in the ring. Or we'll change the orientation, but I would say that is my favorite go-to, is before all the big horse shows, we set up the ring with at least probably three corners. Usually at least two of those can be jumped on four strides, and we try to do it so it can be off the left and off the right. And we actually try really hard to teach the horses and the riders from, you know, the novice level, beginner novice, novice level, with a much smaller height. And obviously at that height, it's going to look almost more like a very small oxer or almost a vertical, all the way through the grades. So that way the lines and the horses just understand what does a four stride corner to corner look like from the time it was little and very much an achievable fence to jump to the time where it becomes much more technically precise and there's one place to jump it and one way to do it successfully.
Gotcha. Yeah. It's those corners can be tricky sometimes. So it's, it makes yeah. plenty of difference for those at home before.
Definitely worth some schooling, I always think.
So kind of with your students, is there something that you find that they often need to work on with their, in your lessons with them?
You know, I think for most of my students, and certainly for myself as a student, you know, a lot of the times I look at all of us as students, and a lot of the technical skills are quite strong. You know, it's the belief in your system and the belief in your execution where I sometimes think is the hardest part and the biggest challenge. So it's really trying to instill that the riders have all the skills they need and the horses have all the skills they need for the moment, and to trust the process and allow things to play out, which I sometimes think is the hardest part of riding.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, it's, you know, we put all that work in the lessons and some, yeah, taking confidence in that you aren't prepared for the show coming up and what have you, and just, yeah, going in confident with you and, you know, you and your partner and your horse.
Absolutely. And it's not easy, right? It's harder to do than it is to say, but I think that's one of the biggest things that we have the responsibility of as a trainer or a coach, is to instill confidence in our students that what they're trying to achieve is possible and that they've been prepared to do that. And that is a huge part of your trainer responsibility, in my opinion, is making sure, you know, riders and horses are at the appropriate levels to be successful. But then once that is in place, it's really believing in your riders that they are prepared and giving them the confidence to execute.
No, definitely. I know for myself, I've had some great coaches who've, you know, done a bit of hand holding and yeah, instilling confidence.
It makes all the difference. Yeah, it makes absolutely. All the difference.
Yeah. So you answered most of my questions. I just have a couple wrap up questions for you. You know, we kind of talked about how the sport can be challenging and have some disappointments. What is the hardest part of the sport for you?
I think the hardest part of the sport for me is keeping the horses sound and happy and understanding them for not days or months at a time, but years at a time. And, you know, I think we developed such long standing relationships with a lot of these horses. And no matter how long their careers are, there's no horse where you're going to say that career was long enough, right? You know, you want it to be for forever. That's how I feel about it. So I think that's the hardest part is, you know, knowing when it's time for a horse to maybe step down or change jobs. I think that's one of the parts of the sport that is always the hardest part, because, you know, we, especially as a upper level rider, you know, you're with these horses for years and years, like spending day in, day out, trying to understand every part of them. And they really take you on a journey. And I think that's what makes it so special. And I think that's the part that, you know, is always the hardest part about it, is we're so lucky to go on these journeys with these horses that take us to all these cool places and really expand what we know and help us be better riders and better horsemen, that when it's time for them to have a step down or to retire or, you know, enjoy something a bit easier or different, that's always hard to me.
Mm-hmm. No, definitely. Yeah, it's, yeah, like how you said, it can, those journeys we go on can span so many years, and it's, you know, sometimes it's time for retirement, and it's, want to relish in those past memories. And like you said, kind of all the places you've gone with them and enjoy the golden years, I guess.
Yeah.
Is there any advice you would give your younger self?
I think the biggest thing that I would kind of just remind myself being younger and even today is that, you know, it's a process and it takes time, and almost to just relax about everything, that it all comes in good time. You know, when I was younger, it's like you kind of feel like you're almost chasing a rat race a bit of like, well, are you ever going to make it? Are you ever going to get there? Are you ever going to have the right horse come along? And it takes the time it takes. I always joke with some of the young writers that I went preliminary for like 8 years before I ever did an intermediate, because of the different horses and different circumstances. And, you know, that was some of the best learning years, where it was, you know, you're felt a bit stuck at a level and you're just stuck in and you're learning and you're kind of grinding away. And so I think now it feels like you can almost feel like, wow, you can relax about it all a little bit, because it's going to take the time it takes, and that's all part of it. And in fact, the older I get, I'm always happy that it's taken so long. Like you want to kind of go into it with no stone unturned. And I think that is very much a philosophy of my riding and developing horses and riders now, very much is you really want to feel prepared for the level what you're going, whether it's yourself, your horse, your student. And that's probably the biggest thing I would tell my younger self is enjoy taking the time it takes, because you're going to really want that preparation and that understanding as you go up the levels.
No, that's great to hear, because it's sometimes like we have our goals in mind, but we, like you said, it takes the time that it takes to reach those goals. And it's often seems it's kind of meant to be. And then you're, you know, that much more knowledgeable from having spent more time at prelim or whatever.
Absolutely.
So is there something that people don't know about you that you could share? Sometimes people have a hidden talent or hidden interest. I don't know if that, not everyone has something to share, but sometimes people do.
Oh man. I think the biggest thing is probably I'm a disaster in the kitchen. It's kind of like my running joke is I like don't know how to cook anything besides maybe boil some water. That's probably the biggest funny thing about me.
Yeah, no, it's, we all have our different skills, and you obviously are a skilled rider and trainer, so other people can worry about the kitchen and cooking. So kind of just my final question is, what's next for you and your horses? The kind of weeks or months ahead?
Yeah, so That's Me Z will head to the Kentucky 4-star short. That's kind of the next thing on his dance card, and he'll probably be aimed at a 4-star long this year. He's 9 this year, so he has a little more mileage under his belt, a little more strength. So that's probably within his wheelhouse this year. And the Balladeer Kilbricken's Lad horse will continue to kind of chip away at the 4-star level this year. And he will probably be aimed at some more 4-stars later this spring, and potentially the 4-short at Rebecca Farms and Aspen Farms. And we have some younger horses coming up through the grades as well that are kind of just at the cusp of a 3-star long, and kind of will keep just chipping away at some strength and education. So hopefully they're ready to go advanced this time next year.
Thank you for listening to this week's conversation with Tommy Greengard. And a big thank you to the episode sponsor, DECRA. Learn more at DECRA-US.com. You can listen to the Practical Horseman podcast on your favorite podcast player or on HorseRadioNetwork.com. While you're there, be sure to like, subscribe, and leave a review. Thanks again for joining us. I'm Kathleen Landwehr, and you've been listening to the Practical Horseman podcast.